Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, I'm Steph.
And I'm Simon.
And this is The Food Fight, a frank discussion of food culture featuring Australia's top chefs, producers and experts.
We'll chat about real issues and go places others won't.
This podcast travels throughout the country, and we acknowledge the traditional owners of the land on which we gather and speak.
And we pay respect to elders past, present and emerging.
This week we are back in person with a fully vaxxed picnic podcast. Steph and I are here for another episode of Stock Takes with none other than Babyface owner Andy Burns to talk about this week's hospitality news.
Welcome to another... This is a Stock Takes episode of The Food Fight, and we're doing this one. This is a picnic podcast with Andy Burns.
Picnic basket.
Our favourite large seafood holder from Wollongong. You haven't been holding much large seafood recently.
How's the holding seafood game treating you? Oh, hasn't been much of it going on lately.
What's the largest seafood item you've got in at the moment?
Maybe a 400 gram Moreton Bay bug.
Nice.
Yeah, okay. But I'm known for bigger seafood than that, so let's not get too excited.
A couple of big prawns.
You have indeed. Yeah.
What's the biggest prawn you've ever held?
180 grams, I reckon. Out of the Clarence River. Yeah, it was a big fucker.
Good prawn.
Nice, good prawn.
That is a good prawn.
Solid prawn.
Good genes. So,
actually, I'll leave this to the end. We'll come back to prawns. I'll do a bit of a Tarantino. I'll tease the prawns now. We'll come back later. We're another Stock Takes podcast, and we're just going to talk about a bit about what's going on in food news, because there's some big, big, heavy-hitting news coming out of the great state of Victoria.
Yeah.
Well done to the Demons, by the way. We're recording this on the Sunday after the grand final. Congratulations to the Melbourne Demons, who won the grand final by 70 points, more or less, yesterday.
Is that a good win?
Over the that's a huge win. That's a huge win. So they were down. They were down midway through the third quarter.
And then they won by 70.
They scored 16 out of the last 17 goals.
The other fellas got a bit tired.
The doggies.
The doggies got a bit tired by the sound of things.
Yeah.
So, it's a landslide.
It's a landslide. What's that in percentage? Anyway, big news out of Melbourne. Martin Benn has left society, probably the biggest restaurant hospitality venue opening of, it's got to be the last, I don't know, in memory.
Yeah.
A $15 million fit out or something.
$15 million was the word.
Yeah.
Lucas spent $15 million.
Three or four years in the making as well.
Three or four years in the making.
I don't think I've ever seen another restaurant have that kind of stretched out from announcement to non-opening almost.
Yeah, I was sick of hearing about it before it even opened.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, because it was like almost like 18 months before they even closed Sepia, they announced they're leaving, and then was it after they closed that they announced they were going to society?
Yep, it was after.
So it just felt like a very protracted thing.
But the interesting thing to start with is that there's so much anticipation around the opening. Mm. Like, everyone's like, okay, what is Martin Benn going to be doing in Melbourne? Mm. Martin Benn Lucas Group, what's going to be happening? And it's like, oh, this is so exciting. Something good. And then obviously it goes for way longer than the opening goes for way longer. And then you've got a pandemic thrown into the middle of it and things like that. Then they finally get open. And talking to a friend from Melbourne literally just then, but I think that they got about 1 week of regular service, including the soft opening.
Yeah.
I shouldn't laugh.
I know.
It's so tragic. You almost have to laugh.
And now they're in lockdown again, and Martin Benn's not there anymore.
Mm. Wowzers.
So you think news. You had problems?
Yeah. Yeah. I will tell Chris Lucas that I haven't been on the pants for a little while, but yeah. I am currently disaster relief, so I am available.
It was pretty exciting because, you know, whatever you kind of say about these large, you know, rich groups who can put wrestlers together, it did look like it was going to be a seriously world class restaurant from the fit out to the kitchen. The kitchen looked insane, like just a modernist cook, you know, chef's wet dream. And the team they put together was some big names in hospitality go in there from the front of house of the chefs. So it did look like it was going to be this, you know, really world class venue for Melbourne. So it's definitely a big shame. Although everyone's talking about it like it's closed, it's still there.
That's the funny thing, yeah, isn't it? Right. Yeah. But so, like, this is the interesting thing. Obviously, it's going to take a hit in terms of its popularity because Martin Benn has left. I think that a lot of people be like, okay, we wanted to go to Society. Now I'm just not quite as keen to go to Society because Martin Benn's no longer there.
I mean, but does that just take their waiting list from 6 months to 3 months?
That's the question. There? So that's what I'm thinking. And yeah, like, again, just talking to a friend on the phone, it's like, you think about the, like, we're pretty in, like, there are a lot of people who enjoy dining and that dine frequently at all these types of venues and things like that, but they don't know the name of the head chef of any of these venues.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They just want to go to a swanky restaurant.
That's
and they've heard
true.
About XYZ place. Like, we know who Martin Benn is, and listeners of this podcast probably know who Martin Benn is, but, like, a lot of the majority of the dining public don't.
I mean, and it's still, obviously, they've still got a ridiculous team there. You know, do you wonder how, you know, if people might leave or how many people are going to stay.
Well, who was the head chef? Did
I can't remember his name. Ex-Fat Duck in Bray. Mm. So some good history. I think that's the only place he got listed.
He worked at Ezard as well.
Yeah, yeah, in Levantine Hill.
And so, obviously wouldn't be employed there as the head chef, if they weren't very good at their job.
I mean, the interesting thing is are they just going to run, you know, Martin Benn's menu?
38
a la carte, of course.
Yeah, 38.
Or is it going to switch? Or is, you know, I imagine there'd be some sort of, like, tapering of it. But, I mean, Martin Benn's, I mean, he's a, you know, world-class chef for a reason. His food is very original, very unique. So it's not like you can kind of replicate it. So at some point, it's going to have to just have a switch from the old dishes and new dishes, and, you know, everything kind of is going to be dictated for that. Seems like a pretty tough position for the new chef to be in.
His name's Luke Hayden, by the way.
Okay.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah.
Shout out to Luke. Yeah. Feel for you.
Good luck, champ.
Yeah, so talk more about this difficult position that he's in and all the difficulties Luke faces.
It's pretty tough when, like, you take over an existing restaurant anyway. Like, I mean, like, when we sort of took over Caveau, like, people have expectations of previous chef, and you want to put your mark on it, but you want to keep the customers, and, like, so it's gonna be a pretty weird position into what he's gonna do and how much, you know, control he's got in the restaurant going forward. But he's stepping into some massive shoes that, you know, it's I mean, trying to fill them is probably an impossibility, but it's, you know, can you put together what has been hyped up as a world-class restaurant?
Got to keep those regulars too after five yeah, days of trade. Yeah, yeah. Got to keep them people coming back.
I mean, that might be a good thing.
They're going to kill you if you take the tuna off.
Yeah,
of
well, yeah. I mean, the tuna with the brunoise.
The chicken jelly. That's the best.
The brunoise of jelly.
We already know the dish. This has been open 5 days.
But, well, I guess, like, here's the question. It's like, because only a week's worth of patrons have been there, it means that the expectation of the food is only, you know, there by the week of people who went there. Yeah. So, like, I go there and I'm like, well, I'm obviously not expecting Martin Benn food. So, like, do you just kind of, does, like, what do you think the Lucas group does? Like, do you think they just persist with Luke, poor old Lukey boy, who's in the hardest position in Australia? Luke, come on the podcast and talk about this. Yeah. This would be great chat. But
I mean, it's a massive opportunity. It's not like it's
and exactly. And if you want to fill up your bookings list, then get Luke on the food fight. And,
yeah, exactly.
You know,
and get some extra. How long is there a Melbourne reopening? That's timeline?
The I don't think there
how
is.
How long of
right?
How long of
there is?
Yeah, same. I think they're a couple of weeks behind us in New South Wales now. So I think there will be, but similar but different. I think, but at 70%, they'll be opening up restaurants, bars to vaccinated people, like similar ones. I think the 80% double vax, then there's some differences between the two states, but they're 2 or 3 weeks behind, I think. So they're gearing up for an opening now as well.
Yeah. Well, I guess it depends how long they've got. They've got some time to bust some moves. It'll be interesting to see.
Is like the pictures of the dishes have been thrown across magazines and social media. So, are people expecting the one with the red rings and the one with the green rings and then the one with the jelly on top? Like,
I know exactly the dishes you're talking about. That's a classic, the green ring one, though. It's a fucking great dish. Yeah.
Right? Oh, the tuna chicken jelly.
Brunoise jelly, yeah.
And
there will be a lot of people expecting that. Interesting one. I think the thing, it was quite a shock. I found out through Andy when I was texting him about what we might talk about and doing this podcast.
Yeah, and that's how I found it. Yeah, I found out from you.
He's like, I've got mine. I'm like, what? He's like, mine and Ben just left society. I'm like, what?
I'd just seen it.
Yeah, it's like 2 minutes before it's posted. And everyone was kind of chatting about it. There's lots of disbelief in the comments and asked some chefs what they thought about it.
Do you think... go for it,
Simon. My point is that it said in the press release that Vicky Wilde had actually already left in July, I believe. So that went quite under the radar. I can't remember any...
Maybe here in New South Wales it did. Maybe in Melbourne it probably didn't.
But in the industry.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I don't think Good Food did an article about that. Like, so that went under the radar. So if you've seen this coming a little bit, if you knew this out. So obviously something has happened or a change of mind or heart has happened and, possibly... They decided to leave, but Martin and Ben said he'd stay on for the first 2 months. It just happened that the first 2 months was all locked down. So it'll be interesting if we ever do find out what happened. I doubt we will, except for some gossip.
It's when he does his... He'll get Jock from John Frillo to ghostwrite his memoir.
And then you guys can fact check it.
Yeah.
Not forgetting too that they not only have they lost Martin Ben, but they've lost Vicky Wilde.
Yeah.
And... Imagine that, like both front and back. Like we've spoken about is Martin Ben.
Yeah,
that's a nightmare for any restaurant.
Oh,
it's almost why like any restaurant that has like a couple running it, it's always a worry. They're either gonna break up and they're gonna be fucking horrible for each other, and they probably both want to leave anyway, or they're just gonna leave and start their own place, and you're just fucked.
Or they leave together.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Yeah, so. It's
Jen and I did that. Sorry, understand.
Sorry, Diggies.
That's a bit of a nightmare anyway. So, it'll be interesting to see how it pans out. Realistically,
do you think they'll try to replace him with a big name, Andy?
Oh man, I don't know. I don't know. Like Simon said. And, like we've spoken about, the dishes we've seen, like Martin Ben is Martin Ben. And his food is very uniquely and specifically his food. And if you're a chef or if you've dined at CPO or whatever, like you know it. And there's no point trying to replicate it. Like that's pointless. So you've either got to make a choice. You run with the crew you've got. Do you run that menu? That's another question. Or do you go all out and try and get a big gun to replace that person. But it'd big shoes to fit. It'd want to be a big gun.
So who's the big guns?
Steph's put his hand up, everyone.
Who are we putting out there?
I'm busy.
Simon's busy.
Any international players out there?
Well, I mean, I think if you think about
who's available? Who could fill those shoes?
There's no established names who would probably go there because
Ben Shuri, I don't know.
Yeah, the big names have already got jobs.
Do you reckon they could offer Mark Best enough money to go there?
Oh, there you go. He's
consulting or something. Like
got a bit on. He's got some business with the lamb guys and all that.
Magra.
I don't know. Magra. I'm just trying to think of people who could
I think realistically, if you were looking to hire a new chef, you'd be looking at Marco's free. Marco's free. Gordon, what are you doing? Isn't Gordon Ramsay's daughter in town?
Jock? He's busy with TikTok, mate. Gordon's TikToks.
If you were looking to hire a new chef there, you'd be looking at that sort of tier of young chefs in head chef roles or sous chef roles, which I imagine is what their head chef is now. So I think you'd be looking at the best chefs in that slightly lower tier who might be future stars. So you'd be looking around the same one. So I can't imagine they would hire a new chef unless there was... you can't think of anyone who would just go and take over that restaurant, really.
Maybe run that menu and then, taper off until the head chef style.
Yeah, it'd be such a such a sort of stark change?
I don't know. Glad it's not my 15 mil.
Yeah, exactly. I've got better things to do with my.
Well, it's. I mean,
it's all my millions.
Yeah. Like, it's still an epic. You know,
yeah, exactly. Like, I still really want to go there.
I'm sure they'll be fine.
Yeah, I don't think there's a worry. It's yeah, it's, I don't think I've ever really seen a development like that in.
Yeah, it's
in Australia. It's kind of like Gordon Ramsay leaving Aubergine and stealing the reservation book back in the day, kind of thing.
Oh, really? Is that what
yeah,
it is?
That story?
Yeah, no. Well, him and Marco fell out apparently, like, because Marco blamed Gordon, and Gordon said, and apparently it was Gordon Ramsay did it in the end. He admitted
they
to
both,
it.
Yeah.
But like this is back in the day when there was no online booking, so a physical book with all the reservations, everyone contact details, and he nicked it. So they just have people showing up, and they had no idea like who they were if they had a reservation.
No
just,
way.
Just like such a stitch up.
So, no way.
So, but you can't do that now. You can't steal now. Book it.
Maybe
diary.
Martin Benz just like employed Martin some Russian hacker to like steal all the bookings list of society
and did a runner. So,
well, I don't know. I guess the disappointment is that I don't know. Well, I don't know. I just hopefully by the time lockdown's over, and well, this is what I want. I want lockdown to end. And be able to go to Melbourne again and do some more podcasts and things like that, and the Brunoise jelly is still on the menu.
And that's what's.
I want to taste that dish. You know, I want to get that little hint of Martin Benn before it's completely dissipated into
and
something new.
On top of that, what will Martin and Vicky do next? Are they coming back to Sydney? Are they?
Yeah, I said something about sort of retirement. Oh, what, sorry? It said something about like he was basically in retirement.
Oh, okay.
In the press release or the article, good for nothing.
He's pretty old. He's no spring chicken.
Yeah. Must have cashed right in on this little
open invitation both to you, Mark, Martin and Vicky, to come on the podcast and chat about it as well.
Yeah,
I know that
yourselves.
You probably don't have too many media offers at the moment.
when you're done with Woman's Weekly,
yeah.
It's one of those ones you just like. It's a bit anticlimactic because you hear about it and you just know you're not going to ever find out the story.
Yeah,
even though like,
you might. Curious. I don't know. Maybe you will.
You'll hear someone says something from someone.
Maybe something legal happens, and then you have to find out.
Slide into our DMs and shill the goss.
Yeah, I mean, look, realistically, like if we're extrapolating on what actually happened, unless. For some reason that there was a contract in place where he finishes tenure there, you know, not long after he started, which doesn't make sense.
Mm, no.
Realistically, like, you wouldn't just leave because you were kind of over it because you don't really have enough time to get over it, like, because you've only done a week of services and things like that. And you've been working towards this for 4 years and all that sort of thing. Like, there had to be some pretty intense shit going on behind the scenes, right? Like, am I right? Like, am I speculating way too much there?
Yeah. Like, you'd think it's either a falling out between the parties or it's a vast change of heart where he's, you know, gone, well, this is what I thought I wanted to do, but it turns out that nah.
No.
And the added pressure of, like, the constant Melbourne lockdown. Like, I can't even, like...
Melbourne, yesterday, Melbourne just broke the record for the longest city in lockdown in the world.
That's just...
So, congratulations, Melbourne.
It's so intense.
Another award for Melbourne.
Yeah.
That's so intense.
Yeah, it's wild. So, yes, we will see.
To be confirmed when Martin and Vicky join us on the podcast to give us all the details.
Mm. But what about a positive... A different positive one, the fancy restaurant Phil Wood back in Sydney.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know when that's supposed to open. What's the name? What's the name of that? I'm looking forward to that, though.
Is called... I can't remember.
The spot looks awesome.
So informed here on the food fight.
I'll just throw it out there. Everyone asks off the cuff.
Where is it?
Paddo, isn't it?
Is it?
Yeah, it's in Sydney. Yeah, I mean, obviously another great chef coming back to Sydney.
Yeah.
Did a little sabbatical in Mornington Peninsula. So, yeah, exciting opening to come. Hopefully there'll be some good openings in the next 6 months or a year in Sydney.
Mm. I'll just, before we move on, I'll just add that Simon chose the spot that we're currently in.
Mm.
We're overlooking a soccer oval here in Wollongong. This is our picnic. It was ideal. It was good because it has gotten us out of the wind. Mm. We are on a graffitied dunny block with broken glass and ciggy butts that looks like the bong-smoking capital of Gwynville.
We did rip a couple before the podcast.
What you did not count on, though, Simon, was this big fuck-off tree right here with a family of lorikeets in it that is just...
You can't... It's Australia. No matter where you go, there's fucking squawking.
If North Gong.
Yeah.
No, it's hard to foresee. So sorry, listeners, if you're disturbed by the Disturbed by the lorikeets.
If they're nature disturbs you.
It's our first live podcasting in some time, though.
So I know. First in-person podcast in ages.
Good day. Yeah, steps back. Yeah. Everyone.
Moving on. What's next? Simon.
We're going to talk about a potential shit fight in that restaurants are about to be open. Originally, it was the 18th. Now, it's looking like it might be the 11th, which is a bit of a spanner in everyone's work. So, either you stick to your original date or you try and move it forward. And the customers and staff will be needed to be double vaccinated to enter. And the vaccine passports might not be ready until a couple of weeks after we open. So there's all these things coming together where we will have to find other ways of people proving they're vaccinated. It has been tough for some people to get their vaccination in the last couple of months because of supply issues. So there might be some restaurants who don't have enough staff to open. And also the actual health notice might not be finished by then either. So we won't actually know what we are supposed to do in any given situation. So there's lots of things coming together, which might mean that on top of trying to reopen a restaurant after 3 months, there's an extra level of shit fight that we have, already probably disgruntled customers. No official way for them to show they're vaccinated. And might not have enough staff to open anyway. So it's a bit doom and gloom, but it's all kind of hurtling very fast towards opening day, and these things are becoming more and more real.
So
I think that, wasn't it that the Service New South Wales official vax passport wasn't going to be ready? Mm. But like, I've got my little thing on my phone that you can just bring up in your wallet, right?
Yeah.
So that they'll be putting that on the restaurant to,
well, exactly.
Hey, you guys have to do this rather than classic.
But I mean, you're going to get people who say, I haven't got that, or
do you know what the vax passport is going to actually, like, what the functionality of it's supposed to be?
In what way?
Would you just show it to someone and they're like, yes, sweet?
Well,
because can you just fucking
part of the QR code, right? I think they're going to incorporate it with the new...
Is that what it is, right? So you go QR code and it says... So. Okay, that's what I was wondering, because it's like... if you just have to show someone the screen of your phone, it's pretty easy to just show a maitre d', like,
well, one
a phone screen with a fucking green tick on it.
Yeah, the one that comes up on like your Apple Pay, it would just be really... I mean, you could just take a screenshot of that and quick bit of editing on any app on your phone.
Yeah,
and you can knock one out. So the main thing is that we need to know this stuff. And we're very much in the dark. So, we're going to have to put in processes and systems to enable us to do this. And it's whether, people do it when they get there, or can they send it through beforehand when they book. It still hasn't really been official that do all staff need to be vaccinated? Is it just the customers? Well, what do they need to show? What's a restaurant's liability for enforcing a vaccination mandate as well? It's a bit of a worry. Like if you're obviously telling all your staff they have to get vaccinated, and then they did have some side effects. There's liability there, possibly. So there's a lot of unknowns. And the government's like, no. Restaurants, you can open. Just make sure everyone's vaccinated. And like, they're not giving us anything else.
They've also had a fair bit of time, I feel. I'm not Gladys. She's
had heaps of time.
They've had a fair bit of time.
She's not busy at all.
I mean, but like, let's be honest. I think you guys mentioned on one of your previous podcasts that I was listening to is like, it's been pretty consistent that something gets announced and there's just it's completely not organized. Then Service New South Wales, the phones melt or a website crashes, and then 2 weeks later it actually gets figured out. So hopefully hopefully in the next fortnight we've got a bit of clarity and a bit of backbone behind some of these words.
The way it's looking at the moment, which is also just hearsay and some announcements, is that there'll be some restaurants who maybe their staff, or not enough of their staff, are fully vaccinated. They'll be able to open one day for takeaway. The next day, they won't be able to open because they won't have the staff. So that's going to be a bit shit when it's restaurants reopening. We're allowed to have customers in again, but some restaurants might not be able to open. And obviously, that is a fault on the staff a little bit for not getting vaccinated quicker, but there has been delays.
No, but it's not. It's not. Because there are staff... Like, I've got a friend who works in health that got her second vaccination like 2 days ago.
Yeah.
And she was trying to get vaccinated. There are still a lot of people out there
trying to get vaccinated. Because they were the first people that should have been.
Yes.
Yeah. That's
crazy. I feel like there have been, like, we've all known this for a very long time, though. Like, if you've...
Well, there wasn't,
I don't know,
much
you'd be pretty unlucky if you've gone out of your way to try and get vaccinated and haven't been able to.
Yeah.
With AstraZeneca, that is.
Yeah, like, AstraZeneca,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. But I mean, then there can be a 12-week wait with AstraZeneca, has been the problem.
But they're cutting it down. Yeah, like, one of our boys got it, and he was going to be... Like, his second one's on the 25th, but they said they can bring it back a week to the week before if he needed to.
Yeah.
I mean, which isn't ideal, like, obviously. But
I wonder how you get some of that Moderna shit.
It's coming soon.
It landed. It's here. We've got it.
They're keeping most of it for boosters. So there's only going to be a bit, and it's only going to be in focus.
So what? You can get a booster of Moderna having been vaxxed with Pfizer and Astra.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Got Astra first, had a reaction, and got Pfizer second.
Yeah, right. Well, they're different.
It's a match.
Like, Pfizer's an mRNA and so is Moderna vaccine, and then AstraZeneca's a viral load, more traditional vaccine. So I'm not sure if you can get a Moderna booster for AstraZeneca.
Yeah, right.
But like,
I just think it'd be cool to have the Moderna vaccine just to be unique. People are like, oh yeah, I got Moderna.
So you're like, that's like the old Moderna. That's the old hipster.
Yeah.
That'd be like, so we got this single batch.
It's good shit. Good,
It's biodynamic.
Biodynamic Moderna vaccine.
Someone should do
fresh
brewers or
it's a small little place in the
brewers
States
should do brewers or like yeah some fucking distillery can like. Can South Coast Distillery do like a single batch Moderna South Coast?
Moderna.
Well, yeah. Moderna's got like more of the active ingredient, as it were, in it.
Yeah, right.
So like it is like kind of a little bit different where it's almost like a specialty vaccine.
Yeah.
Anyway, shit show. So rundown.
Have you guys, tell me about what you guys are doing. Are you going for the 18th or are you going for the 11th or what are you doing?
We thought it was the 18th. We aimed for the 18th. We're going to stick to that. We need a week to prep, set up, finish finalizing everything. So we need that run up.
Can you open 2 days before?
Well,
can you open on like the 15th for friends and family who don't care and won't give you bad reviews? Like two soft openings and stuff. And that means
spoken briefly about this. Like at the moment, we just don't really know. So it's hard to organize anything. But
I was kind of joking.
We've already spoken about maybe a little famil for some people or whatever. But we're going to be, it's going to be a big week. There's a lot of stuff to get
Simon's
in, to trial,
busy
to set
boy.
Up. The kitchen's getting a massive scrub because it'd be the only chance we really get to do that full day of just pulling everything and cleaning. So that'll be, that's always nice. Love that.
Good day.
And then a lot of prep, a lot of trialing, a lot of putting everything into place. And then back to it.
New menu?
Yeah, entirely a new menu.
Fuck.
Adjusted slightly, a new tasting menu coming along with the a la carte. And then some other things we're in the works. So I've got an ever-growing mountain of menus to write.
Cool. That's exciting.
Mm.
Anything?
Andrew.
Yeah, Andrew.
18? No.
Same story. Yeah, we're aiming for what was kind of originally set, the 20th. I've just found it super hard to be like...
Andrew owns Babyface, by the way. I don't know if we've mentioned that for people that don't listen, but no. Babyface Kitchen in Wollongong, check it out.
Co-founder
We
just found this guy
Andy used to be the co-host of this podcast. sorry. Just to introduce you, because we didn't actually fucking say that. So,
We're going for, I think it's Wednesday the 20th. It was originally, it was that original date that kind of floated. Mm. And we won't be ready before then. Because I've just found it super hard to be, like, we're doing heaps of, we're doing takeaway. We've got a bunch of, like, lasagnas we do. And then little burger Saturday sling and lamb packs, like, and...
How the lasagnas packs. Go? You they're flying out the door.
Yeah, we've been doing. Like
you just went to a lasagna 60 shop.
60 kilos a week. Yeah.
Fuck me.
Yeah, a bit less now, but yeah, we could have been doing 100 kilos a week at one point. Anyway, it's like done with all that. Well, not done, but getting done with it. Like trying to switch the focus. I mean, the guys in the kitchen have kind of taken over for me, which is really nice.
Yeah,
like, cool.
They've taken over the responsibility and brain power for the minute so I can actually focus on us reopening, which has like been pretty hard to just flick that switch and switch the brain back to like, okay, need to be super refined and creative here and like and
remember what it's like to run a kitchen during a service.
Not only that, I was saying to Simon before we started, like contacting farms.
Yeah.
And like we can't, there's dishes we can't test for a couple more weeks because, like, our seafood supply isn't getting live marlin at the moment, because no one else is buying. So it's going to have a bunch of challenges, and trying to put that together. Not only that, we've got things, you know, we're buying fucking knives from France for our main course. We've got plates being made down in Ulladulla. Oh, no. And like,
you said new.
Yeah, no,
new look, baby face.
Heaps of new stuff happening. Like, yeah, the website's finally being redone by the guys you put me onto about 2 years ago, Steph. So
it's just getting around to it.
We've got a lot going on behind the scenes.
So new menu? Like keeping some old favourites on that?
All new menu.
All new. Yep. Great.
Yeah. Cool. A couple of a la carte will always have a couple of things on it, but all new set menu. Yeah. Going up $10 too. You heard it here.
Look out.
Deal with it.
I didn't really think about that, but it kind of will be a great time to dine. Coming out of lockdown, because everyone will kind of have a new menu.
We've skipped a season.
We're
very much into spring, and that's when your biggest changes is that winter menu to your spring menu.
Mm.
So yeah, everyone's gonna have new shit going on.
It is hard too. It's like chatting to the farmers. Like last week, I was calling everyone, and like chatting to Hato and Erica and Hartley, and it's all this little in betweeny phase now. Yeah, like because it's. They're just all the spring stuff starting to come through, but it's not ready. But there's also brings heaps of cool stuff like young garlic and little things going to shoot or flowers and
green.
But
stuff.
So
lots of green stuff.
Yeah,
that was my plan. That was a dish I was writing. I just wrote lamb, green stuff, spring.
Yum.
That's a Simon Evans dish.
Yeah. So I'll work it out later. Maybe we'll leave it on the menu like that. We'll just start writing my menus like autumn air. Sea breeze.
Fuck off.
The first sounds of spring.
Lorikeets.
You can hear it. That's this podcast.
Lorikeets.
The spring podcast. But it's like we've got a little nest right next to us.
It is.
New life.
We're pumped though.
Yeah,
that's exciting.
We're ready. We are ready.
I'm just picturing as well though the funny like little hangovers from lockdown that like will still happen. I'm just like imagining something like you got the baby face, you got the new ceramics, you got the new, you know, wine list and some brand new spring menu and all that sort of stuff, and then down the bottom of the menu it says, on your way out, why not grab a lasagna? Only $30 like or whatever. Yeah. You just why not keep a fridge full of lasagnas? upsell a lasagna on the way out.
For those people who are like, wasn't much fucking food, I'd rather Macca's on the way. Like, yeah, it's lasagna factory. You fat fuck.
It's very hot lasagna in your lap.
Oh, that's exciting. Well, anyone who works for the government, more clarity, please.
And customers, please be kind.
Yeah, if you're gonna be dining out, you know, in the month of October,
don't
just
bully the front of house staff.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
not on.
Yeah, no, that is not on. There should be some sort of should make like a hashtag
register.
Or a. Yeah, just a hashtag. Maybe just hashtag don't be a dick or something like that.
Yeah.
Just to get that around in terms of like. How to treat people in hospitality venues. Like, if you've been able to work this whole time and make money and do all that sort of thing, and then, you know, you've got a chip on your shoulder about something when you go to dine out, just remember that the people serving you haven't had a job for the last however long.
And it's also probably not their venue or their decision. They're just doing what their bosses
have
told
them. That's exactly
right. So come and see me.
I'm up for it.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, I'll be in the back.
Yeah.
Cool. Moving right along, Andy, what's next?
Oh, gong. We were just going to have a bit of a gong chat because Steph's back in the gong. Mm. Haven't caught up with these lovely fellas for ages, and we thought we'd we'd have a bit of a chat about like just the progression in Wollongong and the ridiculous amount of apartments going up, et cetera, et cetera. And like I look off. Kind of just thought yesterday, like sending my dad a video. He hadn't been to my place in a while. Sending my, you guys know where I live, Victoria Square. They're sending my dad a video of like off my balcony.
Yeah.
And it's just, there's like two new, I think 20 plus stories. Sorry, three new 20 plus stories you can see. And then next to my place, there's another, I think it's 16 story, like basically right next door. And then across the road, there's another 15 plus story. And then around the other side of my building along the train track. So they've just sold all of that off. And it's DA'd for another 16 story.
Wow. Yeah.
And that's in the space of like one city block.
Got to be a couple of thousand people potentially moving into Wollongong.
Well, people keep... I keep having the conversations, like people say, like I look around Wollongong, are people living in these things? It's like, well, these guys are spending gargantuan amounts of money on building them. Like,
what do they think people are doing?
I think people are living in it. Well, the ones near ours, like they're called the Signature and Avante. And the other one, sorry, up near towards Dicey's there. The lights are all on at night now. Like they're all pretty full. And then there's the one going up next to Goodies as well.
Mm.
But yeah, the reason I brought it up was I just was, wanted to ask your guys' opinion. You guys are the big podcast guys, very, very educated in these things. What do you think is going to happen in the next 5 years or so in Wollongong? Like, what's the impact on the hospital industry?
To kick off, I think one of the really palpable things around here that's come out of COVID is people moving away from the cities and moving to Wollongong. As you said before we started the podcast, Andy, house prices in Austenmere, which is a northern suburb of Wollongong, went up 40% in the last 12 months, which is out of control. And it's kind of the same anywhere, but there is a big demographic of people that are moving away from the city to a place where they can have a different lifestyle and maybe have a bit more space and stuff like that. And Wollongong, if they maybe need to go into the office a couple of days a week or something like that, there are a lot of people moving to Wollongong, a lot of new bodies in Wollongong, and just looking at property prices and stuff like that, it's just through the roof, and stuff is going. Like, there was a house in Bulai recently, as the Northern Line passes us. There's a house in Bulai recently where there were over 100 registered bidders at an auction. Wow. And it went for something like, $3 million, it was something like $800,000 over the reserve and stuff like that.
It's crazy.
Yeah. So in terms of just looking at the property market, what's happening and people that I'm talking to who are leaving Sydney to look for other pastures. It's a hot spot. And I mean, and then you look at these apartments and there's just going to be that higher level of population. But I mean, number one, like, do you guys think also that the city has got have there been operators who have identified the market and said, well, like, there's going to be a need for more venues? Like, do you think we have more venues than we did? Like, are we prepared for a market that needs more fine, like, dining out? Or
there does seem to be more and more places opening. So it's slowed down the last couple of years, shockingly. I think it's going to be the eternal question with Wollongong. It's always been up and coming, and there's these buildings, and like, when's it going to fucking snowball? And it's never quite kind of come out like that yet. So it does seem like we've been waiting sort of 5, 6, maybe 7 years now for Wollongong to hit that cusp and become that well-known city. We definitely punch above our weight with the bars in Wollongong. But there's been some real bad planning errors and issues with Wollongong from council, where all these high rises have had to have retail space in the bottom, and the rents they don't really care, I think, if they rent them out or not. They'd like, because the rent is insane on some of these units, and that's the majority of Wollongong CBD now. If you want to get a space, there's either a bar already in it, it's not suitable for a bar, or it's under a high rise. You've got to do the build, and it's kind of a bit soulless as well. And they're fucking so expensive. Like, even like Sanchuro just moved out of what's a great little lot to a smaller place.
And they're seemingly busy. Like, when I'm having a drink, like Lala's or whatever, like they were busy.
So I think the people who can actually afford these units are big, big franchises and big companies. So they're not really adding too much to the scene here, because then the people who, the hospitality professionals can't afford the rents these places. So I think like it's tough with that to try and keep up. And there is some, some great spots in town, like the one where the Rockpool Group, their German place,
a Bavarian.
That's a great spot. Like, it's like a premium spot.
That's done, isn't it?
Well, I don't know. Like, they've been closed for ages. They just haven't bothered opening.
They were talking about reopening before this lockdown.
Yeah.
Right.
So, there's all these kind of spots that are laying empty and bare. So, you kind of think that if that's the case, if it stays like that, then the good hospitality, you know, staff are going to open stuff in, you know, in Thirroul, in Port Kembla, you know, Gwynville, and it's going to kind of spread the city out a little bit. So,
which like would be
it's
awesome.
Quite cool in some ways, yeah,
yeah,
yeah. I like living in Thirroul, yeah. It's you know, we got a good little scene happening, like in my neck of the woods. Yeah. Like, we've got Puppies there, which is like a good burger dive bar. There's like a nice little wine bar next door that's just open called Pickled Poet.
Yeah.
Opened by the guys that own a cafe called Wild next door, and they always do a really good job.
Mm.
And yeah, like, you know, slowly but surely, more things happening. But yeah, it's an interesting one because I think, like, being a part of this. And also having worked, like, in regions on cookbooks and things like that, it feels like in regions, a lot of the time the mantra is always like, oh, it's on the up now, like, yeah. You know what I mean? And it's just like, and it keeps going, and it's like for 5 years people have been saying it's on the up, but like restaurants have opened, restaurants have closed.
Mm.
You know, there has not been necessarily like this huge increase in culture, food culture that people are looking for. Like, to be honest, Andy, like, there really are no other restaurants like Babyface in Wollongong now. Like, I think you guys and Kavo sort of sat at the top of the pile, you know, when it came to quality of the dining experience and you know, like, no one else has tried yet.
That's
like,
an interesting part of Wollongong. Like, the recent Bar Awards were last week. Howlin' Wolf and Burst and Death were both in Regional Bar of the Year nomination. I think Newcastle had three in it. Cairns had two. So,
Jesus Christ.
So, and we always seem to have bartenders finalists in national competitions. So we're really punching when it comes to bars.
Yeah.
But there just seems to be a lack of sort of that higher quality restaurant. There's a couple of little hidden gems.
Yeah.
Some solid pizza places, some little Italian joints, some... You really get little Asian joints, but that kind of more traditional fine dining, casual fine dining restaurant just hasn't really eventuated. Like, you know, if you want a tasting menu, it was Kavo or Babyface, and now it's basically Babyface.
Well, I just hope, like, you know, all these apartments we're talking about being banged up and people working way more from home and not necessarily having to go back to the office even out of lockdown. Hopefully that, you know, that brings a more... I guess, discerning diner to the Gong, and that there's more of a market for it. And, we, you know, our Wednesdays and Thursdays are pumping. Our Sunday lunches are pumping, not just our Friday, Saturdays. Like, there's no point having four really good tasting menu restaurants if they're not full.
Oh, well, and I think it comes down to that, is that, you know, is there a number of people for it? I think they did a study earlier this year, it was after the Mercury, where they calculated that I think Wollongong loses about $600 million a year to its economy from people who work in Sydney. So that's them, you know, buying petrol in Sydney, going for that after work shop, going for that after work drink, that
work meal, lunch,
work, yeah, whatever it is. All these expenses that come from just working a place go to Sydney, and then they come back down here.
Mm.
And you do get people who live in like Thirroul who just don't go to Wollongong.
Like, oh, yeah, like, shit, yeah.
Yeah, it's a bubble. It's a bubble.
Massive bubble up there.
It's weird. And then they're just like, oh, I never go to Wollongong. You're like, what? It's there. It's down the road. No, I always just go to Sydney.
Mm.
So, like, the switch to, you know, maybe Wollongong becoming more populous and having better venues and people working from home and potentially even some people looking at Wollongong as a place to put a big hub where people can work remotely, which a lot of businesses around the world are looking at, will mean that a lot of that money stays in Wollongong. And that's a massive kitty to go. And, you know, you imagine a lot of that would be hospitality spend.
Yep.
I think, how do you guys feel about, like, how the planning plays out into the future? Because the one difficult thing is that the planning of the city is completely fucked, like, in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
We've got, like, two dining strips that are separated by a big mall that is completely dead in the middle of the night. Like, so to get from one to the other, you have to commit to a 10-minute walk
or
whatever.
A little
tuk-tuk ride.
It's either empty or closed stores.
Yeah. And, like, I don't know. Like, do you see, like, are we just looking to make the best of what we've got in terms of the planning? Like,
like Simon said, like, council, if you're listening, if anyone from council listens to this, like, stop fucking putting massive apartment blocks up with empty retail space underneath them.
They've actually it's depressing. That was a rule from council. They've actually scrapped that rule.
Oh, they have scrapped it. Oh, thank you. If anyone's listening, thank you.
Because they realized it just spread the CBD out. So now you've got, like, a lawyer's office, like, down fucking Roland Avenue.
But because, so many, like, of them are just, like, empty.
There's nothing. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That as well. So it completely spread out the CBD. So they've realized that was a mistake. But realistically, again, it's the fact that for hospitality people who are talented generally don't have that much money. So what we can afford to rent for our first venue is going to be an older place in a little fucking alley that, you know, that you have to, you know, you can just fucking tile the floor, paint the wall and have a go. They're becoming few and far between.
Yeah.
But, and we also, like, the new places that under these apartment blocks, they have fucking no character and it's a strip of five. Like, I'm not going to open something in that. Like, I'm just not. And I mean, actually, the one thing,
numbers you've got to do to pay the rent there is
And that's the other thing, isn't it, is the cost of them. But the one thing I did see was the, I don't know if you guys saw that, the Wynn development from the Grand all the way up to Spotlight. You can say what you want about it and you guys might disagree with me, like, but it's better than what's there. Right, which what's there is empty stores and knockdowns. Awesome.
Like, it sounds like he's actually thought about what Wollongong needs.
Yep,
has looked at it and actually.
Where along that? What's that street called?
It's Crown.
Corner of Crown and Kira. That whole block,
from
Spotlight to the Grand, basically. He's slowly been buying that up because my friend had a studio there and they left because the building had sold. So he's finally now, after 20 years or something,
owns it all,
owns the whole block, and he's got these crazy plans of a large music venue. It's all architecturally designed, it's beautiful.
Yeah, right. So they're going to redevelop that whole block,
redoing the Grand, three residential hotel apartment. Yeah, it's I don't know how much the forecast was for the build, but it's insane.
Yeah right.
So things like that are great, and I think it does take someone who actually gives a bit of a shit about Wollongong
for sure
to do it. So that I was quite excited about that, and other people are as well, it seems.
Well, it's a step in the right direction, yeah.
Mm. Oh, so definitely. Yeah.
So I mean, it's interesting times. Again, Wollongong is still not the place probably everyone remembers that Wollongong was 10 years ago. You still get that, and you know, the amount of people who come down, like reps and stuff, they all froth Wollongong after they spend a night here.
Yeah,
they're all like, oh, I want to move down. You know, fucking good. So everyone does love it when they come here. It's a great little place. We just need that kind of push over the edge to become a bit more of a hospitality destination.
Yeah. It's just interesting because, like, yeah, we do have these two strips. It is annoying that the two strips are so separate. It would be very, very nice if they were in one place and you didn't
have to
go from A to B if you wanted to go. Like, if I want to go for a drink at Night Parrot, but also, you know, go for dinner at Babyface, it's just a bit of an annoying walk. Well, like
the bigger issue for this whole area is we're a real skinny region
right
down the coast, and there's fuck all late night transport. Like, if you want to get from Wollongong to Thirroul at 1 a.m, it's an Uber or nothing.
Yeah.
Like, and you know, they're few and far between sometimes. There's some real transport issues for a region that needs late night transport. Like, you can't get a train off like 11:20.
Yeah, it's pretty rubbish.
Like north or south. So they keep banging on about how they want Wollongong to have this 24-hour economy and be this, you know, late night destination. But I don't know how the fuck they expect anyone to get here or get home.
Mm.
But they never seem to talk about that. So
I think there's plans for that too.
I hope so. There used to be a night bus that went like to Thirroul and Bulla.
Is that not on anymore?
I don't think so. No, I think they canned it.
Yeah.
So yeah, Wollongong.
Interesting. It'd be interesting to see what happens. And look, like, I think that one of the cool things is that we've already got a lot of local operators who are good and keen and I mean, we don't necessarily need, oh yeah, something I didn't mention about before in Thirroul as well was Franco that opened across the road from Ryan's, which is in that little strip as well. So we've got Ryan's, which is a great pub, Franco, it's a good wine bar and Italian restaurant, Pickled Poet wine bar, and Puppy's Burger Dive Bar, which
it's quite a strip for
it's a great little strip, you know, just down the road from me there. And then there's like Frank's Frank's, which is one of my favorite little bars. It's just an awesome little record store and bar and a few things up the road and stuff as well. So there's things happening up that way too. Mm.
New bar for Port Kembla coming from Ben Abraham of Good Times Only.
Yeah, right. Okay.
What's he called? It's got a funny name.
Yeah, it's the name of an old ship or something, wasn't it? I can't remember. Sorry, Ben. Mm.
That's interesting.
That's close, I think.
New stuff on the way for Port Kembla too. Yeah. But like what I was going to say was like it's cool because we have like we have keen young hospitality professionals that want to open more stuff.
And that are sticking their necks out to do it and putting their money where their mouth is.
Like the guys from Papi Dolce were like a bee's dick away from getting the keys to Tropical Paradise Kebabs or whatever that joint was called to turn it into something cool, which you know they would have turned it into something cool. Mm. The guys from Needing Ruby have opened Santino and they might have more on the way, you never know. Yeah. Like,
and the Iron Yampi in the Iron Yampi, I knew what it was the whole time.
Yeah, there you go.
New small bar. So, bars. Like I said, the suburbs.
Anyway, if you listen to this and you're not from Wollongong and you want to come to Wollongong and
hit me up.
Hit us up. We'll write you an itinerary or we'll just go and have a beer with you.
We'll yell that. I'll just follow my normal triangle of wolf person deaths and that's pretty much it.
Night parrot.
I don't know. I'm usually really drunk. Someone's very drunk by then. He doesn't really know where he goes after
night
that.
Night parrot.
Yeah.
That's the third one.
That little chestnut. Okay. Cool. That's a few good stories out of the way. Now we want to talk some shit about what we've seen online or give some tips or something. So, look, I'll circle it back to the prawns. You forgot about the prawns.
Look at him.
So, you know, we were talking a lot about Basque cheesecakes.
Yeah.
Andy's done a Basque cheesecake.
We have one on the menu.
Concrete Playground just did an article about where to get the best.
Yeah, the 20 best Basque cheesecakes in Sydney.
So,
you know, 20 in Sydney? Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. You're not the only fucking one doing it, mate.
You know when Messina's doing
it like 18 months ago?
When Messina's doing a Basque cheesecake ice cream.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
You know it's mainstream, man.
Yeah.
You know, I'm too cool for Basque cheesecake now. I go cheesecakes that have a crust. Now, the thing that I've seen a lot of, I'm probably going to offend both of you because you've both probably done it in the past, is a butterflied prawn, a large butterflied prawn with some sort of bernoisette and capers on it.
No, haven't done it.
Haven't done it?
No.
Simon, done it?
What did I do?
I just feel like it's a gimme. Like, it's a good dish, but there's just so much of it out there. It's like you just butterfly a prawn and you cook it on the hibachi and you put some bernoisette on it. And
we did a little dish like that. We're doing basically that, but not butterfly. This little takeaway pack thing at the moment. But
there you
like
go.
Garlic and
no, anyway. Takeaway's excluded.
It's great stuff. I've just seen a lot of. Do you guys agree with me? Have you seen shitloads of these butterfly prawns on Instagram?
It's one of those ones where it's a bit of a winner because people fucking love it. Also, like prawns are really expensive. Like a big prawn can be like $5 or $6.
Yes,
for a single prawn. So if we're going to give you four. That's like a expensive dish when it's four prawns. So to trick yous, we butterfly them, spread them out, and they take up more space in the plate. And suddenly three prawns looks like six pieces. So it's a winner on that level.
Suckers.
Because people just don't think prawns are that expensive.
No, it's true.
They're fucking... And then the big ones are very expensive.
And you get them in and you weigh them and you go, oh, fuck, that's 110 grams. Yeah. And you're like, look, fuck. Things like that get perpetuated because people all will order them because they've seen them.
Yeah, so that's everyone's the thing.
Like, I need a little winner on the entrees. And you go, it's fucking easy.
Yeah.
So, it's...
So anyway, that's just bringing it back to the prawns. And you mentioned prawns, Andy, not me.
Yeah,
so it's all your fault.
Yeah, people love them, but you've got to.
All right, so that's my thing from Instagram. You guys got anything that you've been noticing a lot of, or not noticing enough of, or?
I've noticed John Lethlin just trolling people.
Yeah, right.
He's a menace, man. he's a menace. I'm just going to go ahead and say it.
Did you hear our last podcast?
I think
podcast?
He knows he's a menace. I did hear the podcast, but I mean, I've seen him.
He gets in the comments section.
He does. He goes at people in the comments section. It's actually pretty hilarious.
He was in the comments section of the Good Food Martin Ben Vicky Wilde Leaving Society article.
Yeah.
Someone said, well, now I'm definitely not going.
Do you think that's a sensible comment or something?
And then his mate was, then the guy who posted the original comment, his mate was tagging him and be like, John Lethem's getting into you.
That's just, he's a menace.
Something I've noticed. Chat about his reviewing last week.
Yeah, we'll probably hold this for another a podcast, Simon, and we'll see how the situation develops. But we've had contact from some of the people at Heritage Wine Bar in Perth that was the subject of John's scathing review.
Mm. Oh, you have?
Yeah, and we've sort of back and forth a little bit, and things might develop and we might do another podcast and stuff like that. So we'll leave that side of things. But that's an interesting one. I mean, he's always out there. Couscous for comments, a good one though.
Yeah,
he's out there.
Couscous for comments, interesting. I like that couscous for comment thing. And there's a few times where I feel like he's taken it a little bit too far. There was one time where some professional photographers were reached out to a place to see if they wanted professional photography in exchange for a meal.
Yeah,
which. I, as a photographer, I think that's a fair, service share.
If you're getting something physical,
exactly. But then, the comment section is tagging the photographers in there, going, "You blood sucking leeches" and stuff. And it's like, dude, they're providing a pretty good service. Like, I charged a fair bit of coin for my photography, much more than one dinner.
Yeah, exactly. That's sort of been the whole point of what you're saying, is that these people are asking for free food and not giving anything in return, really, or anything tangible. So
that's the whole point.
Something tangible, then that's an exchange of labor.
Yeah.
Fair
enough.
Definitely jumps on it a bit.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Simon, you got anything?
I had a little tip.
We on the tips?
Well, and I did find them on Instagram originally. Grocery delivery.
Oh, yeah.
I'm all for it.
From where?
So a company I've been getting for is called Delish Deliveries. So they're based in Sydney, and they work with small farms. Obviously, they're at the markets, at the butcher, at the fishmonger.
Well, so you can get a bit of everything.
Yeah, so they do one drop to Wollongong a week, arrives on a Friday morning. And just awesome. Great website, really good contact, really good, helpful support staff there. And I managed to get some Cape Grim... sirloin this week, and some farmed barramundi from Coral Coast. What are they called? Anyway, some of the best barramundi in Australia.
There you have it.
A couple of fillets. So they're just great little company. Always throw in a little freebie, a little free cheese this week, and a little free chocolate the week before.
That's nice.
And it even comes on the invoice. It's got where they're from. And also, we got some Robertson potatoes, and one this week was from Phil the farmer, whoever the fuck Phil is, but. Just kind of, they look like they're...
Philip Moonacres.
Yeah, could be.
Phil Lavers.
I mean, so they just seem like they're getting some really, really quality stuff, all in season, all very well priced. Actually, a lot of time cheaper than the supermarkets. They have a little guide they do every month where they compare prices. And it's great to support a smaller company and not the big fellas.
Don't shop at Woolies.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, less plastic probably in the end and things like that.
Nothing comes packed. It comes in one or two boxes. So, I've been frothing that. Something I've been looking at it for a while. And this company seemed really cool.
Yeah.
Seemed like a smallish company.
It'd be remiss of me working for Food Fairness Illawarra, as I did, it'd be remiss of me not to mention some of the local grocery delivery services, Green Connect and Farmers by Choice in Bulleye, which is another really good local farm that provides those options. And I guess it's the tough one, right? It's like... We do live in this economy where convenience is the thing, and if you can't get quite everything you need from one veggie box, as you're saying, you get meats and all that sort of stuff as well, and they've got a bit of choice.
Yeah, they do have some cleaning stuff and a little bit as well, which is helpful.
See, that's convenient.
Found them actually, is they stock nude.
Men.
Face nude men. nude,
fully grown nude men.
There's a company called Nude. It's Aboriginal owned, and it's all hand sanitizer and shampoo, and it's all native ingredients. They were actually the stockists in New South Wales for them. That's how I came across them through that, because I bought some stuff from this nude company. So they've got enough to only maybe have to dive into the shops to grab a couple of things,
yeah.
which is easier for me than having to do one veg, one meat, one fit. So that was the ease of this one. But definitely some great local people if you want to get a weekly mixed veg
box of
seasonal produce.
Definitely. I think if you're a Woolies or a Coles shopper, what's it called, Simon?
Delish Deliveries.
Okay.
Had a great start with our ordering from them. We're on to our third week now. But I've been pretty impressed. And yeah, the quality of the meat and the fish I've got from them is excellent. Like, nice. It's the same stuff I'd use in the restaurant.
Great. You got a tip, Andy?
Not really.
Not a tip?
No
tips?
Oh, actually. Well,
give us a tip give us a powerlifting tip.
Powerlifting tip? Keep that bar close, yeah? You got to get out of the hole.
Yeah. There you go. Sweet. I'll remember that.
That's an Olympic lifting tip, by the way. Yeah, I don't really do powerlifting.
What's your snatch PB?
95 kilos.
You'll be snatching me one day. 105. Got to get up another team.
No, not anymore, man. My knee's going.
Knee's done.
No more heavy lifting. I'm done. Keep it light.
I got a tip.
Give us your tip. You've always got good tips.
I'm not one to often frequent the mixed drink section of the Bottle-O, but I went there the other day.
Here we go.
And it's a cornucopia of interesting mixed drinks. It really is. Oh, and you know what I fucking bought yesterday? And it was really good because, like, we just moved and I bought a new house and we're renovating and, like, I literally don't have anything in the house at all. So, like, I was like, I want to take something home to drink and I don't really feel like beer, but we don't have any glasses, so I'm not going to buy a bottle of gin and a bottle of tonic and go through that rigmarole. So I bought a 4-pack of Archie Rose gin, lemon and pepperberry gin cans.
Okay. So it is the change, isn't it? Because, like, you automatically think of, like, Bundy and
Jim Beam.
Exactly.
Jim Beam.
That's what I'm talking about.
The big dogs.
And these fucking things are so good. You just pull one out of the fridge and and you've got this cold, delicious gin and tonic. It was really delicious. Mm. And, you know, I was trying to decide on what I wanted because you got your Kraken, Dark and Stormies there. You got your, like... A lot of smaller Australian spirits comes.
Rum distillery,
are making these cool mixes.
Like a fucking kid in a candy store.
Like a kid in a candy store. You know where we went yesterday? So we bought fucking... I normally would just go to the Bottle-O and buy a case of beer if I want a cold alcoholic drink. But we ended up buying like a 4-pack of that. We bought this random alcoholic kombucha. Like some... I bought a craft 6-pack of craft beer or something like that as well. Just, I don't know, this weird little mixed bag. But if you're like, I don't know, like I'd normally just have a bottle of gin at home and pour a drink if I wanted a gin and tonic. But I don't know, there's some interesting stuff. Like, and when I'm thinking about it for next time I go to a party, you know what I mean? I'd never normally go there. You remember you always used to get those Gordon's, the only gin and tonic available in a can with the Gordon's tinnies in a 375 ml Coke can.
Didn't they have that monopoly?
Yeah, totally. But now, like, you go and get a mixed gin and tonic and, like...
Yeah, Archie Rose.
Yeah, there's Archie Rose. Mm. And, like, I mean, there's probably about 5 different Bombay ones there. There's Tanqueray ones. There's, you know, so...
Yeah, I didn't know this.
An emerging market. And yeah, it's great for parties, great for picnics.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's sanctioned right now.
Totally.
And yeah, because you wouldn't go to a party. I mean, someone would. I probably would. But like, you wouldn't really turn to a party with a whole bottle of gin
Not since I was 17.
You get a bottle of Coke and you pour out half of it and then you fill the other half with a bottle of rum.
That's what mixed drinks were back in my day.
Take that to a party.
Yeah. So yeah, a bit of a game changer that. Lots of and it still looks like bars are going to be allowed to sell takeaways for some time, and lots of bars are doing mixed drinks as well. So lots of great opportunities to get. So don't even worry about mixing your own drinks. Don't bother.
Lots of opportunities to get drunk.
Yeah.
No, special occasions because of waste. That's my thing. I prefer to buy one bottle of gin and a big bottle of tonic than buy, you know, 20 cans of something.
All right.
But
all right.
Special occasions. Parties, picnics. Special occasion at home.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you're just having a cheeky gin and tonic at home, you can mix one yourself then, I guess.
Yeah, that's what I mean, at home. I'm not taking a bottle of gin to a picnic. What am I, crazy?
I'm pretty sure I did last
picnic. Did you?
I just want the picnic we had with Luke, Josh, Willie and Scott.
Sound like a fun picnic.
We had quite a cornucopia.
It's funny. It's funny how they call them picnics, but basically it's just like getting on the piss outside.
Yeah, we had quite the picnic with Jimmy Butcher, Laura, Johnny, a few friends, Jen and I, down at Wiseman's there.
Love it.
It was like some Memento Mori. Jen bought a bottle of champagne. There was a lot of Cooper's pails and grifters, and there's booze everywhere.
Yeah,
yeah, all legal.
Go mate. Have your picnic.
Completely.
Yeah. Anyway, we'll be back.
Completely alcohol.
Soon.
Yeah, we're getting there.
Friendly area.
All right, that'll do us. Mm. I think, in Andy's words, keep the bar closed, get out of the hole, and we'll see you on the next episode. Hello, dear listeners. Steph here. Thank you so much for joining us for another episode of The Food Fight. If you want to get in touch with us, it's at The Food Fight Podcast on Instagram or thefoodfightpodcast@gmail.com. We want to hear from you and we want to talk to you. Please leave us a 5-star review on iTunes. That really helps. If you want to hit me up, it's quicksandfood.com or at quicksandfood on Instagram. And if you want to get in touch with Simon, it's Simon_Evans_TBD on Instagram. Thanks so much for tuning in and we'll catch you again with another episode.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, folks, it's Mark Maron from WTF. I've been talking to all kinds of famous people in my garage since 2009, including a sitting president. You know, I don't imagine you were flying in here on the chopper thinking like, you know, I am nervous about Mark.
No, I wasn't.
Okay, well, that's good.
That would be a problem.
It would be a problem.
If the president was feeling stressed about
coming to my garage.
Coming to your garage.
And now there's even more WTF when you subscribe to the full Marin to get weekly bonus content and all WTF episodes ad-free. Listen to WTF wherever you get podcasts and subscribe to the full Marin at go.acast.com/WTF.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.